Ginger Metro.
Hello, and welcome to Passive Power with Galexis. My name is Ginger Metro, and I am the channel for Galexis, who will be with you shortly. Galexis is a group of beings who have come together to speak as one. And in other words, even though they retain their own individual flavor, when I channel them, they basically pass the microphone between them so that I don't have to go in and out of trance. Galexis is going to talk to you today about failure, about loss and failure, because so many people are facing that at this time in the economy. And just to let you know also, we have the first and third Monday at this time, the Path of Power. We alternate with the second and fourth Monday with Tall Cat Psychic. Now, this month we happen to have a fifth Monday, and this fifth Monday on the 29th is going to be Galexis and the Path of Power. So just to let you know, and you can note this in your calendars. So I'm going to head on out and go into trance, and I'm not going to come back at the end of the show, which I used to do. Galexis will be with you for the rest of the duration of this time, of this program. And in order to go into trance, I will be quiet for just a few seconds, so don't worry, there's no disconnect at all. And you may hear me breathe a little bit, and then Galexis will come in by saying, all right, we are here. And then they will talk briefly on the topic, which tonight's topic, as I said, is failure. And then they will open up the lines, and you can call in and ask questions on that or any other topic that is of interest to you. So without any further ado, I'm going to head on into trance, and I hope you have a nice time with Galexis. And if you want to make a call to Galexis, you can look on the website right there, and you'll see that the phone numbers to call will be prominently displayed there. Or if you want to make a note of it right now, 877-876-5227. After Galexis has finished talking about failure, they will basically say, okay, the lines are open. And so my request to you as listeners is to not call in before Galexis says that. And without any further ado, I'm heading out. Have a good time. Bye-bye. All right, we are here, and we are Galexis. Welcome to the Path of Power. We suggested this as the name of our program because so many people live their lives feeling somewhat powerless, feeling at the mercy of what goes on in their environment, in their economy, in their world. And so our focus in this radio program is to share with you, the listener, any ways that we can to help support your retrieval of power that you have given away to others, as well as building a sense of personal empowerment. And the more empowerment that you build within yourself, the more capable you will be of making those decisions and choices that you need to make to have an absolutely glorious life. You will have more freedom. You will have more enjoyment in your life if you're living your life in your power. So tonight, we would like to look out the topic of failure. It's a scary word. It's scarier than that other F word. Failure is something associated with tremendous isolation, rejection, alienation, and humiliation. Failure has an abject sense of despair attached to it, in the meanings that you have given it as a culture. Failure is so scary that many people will not even attempt to do something, will not even make a step forward into the unknown for fear that they're going to fail. To avoid failure, hey, do nothing. Hey, that's a great way to avoid failure. Yes, perhaps in its own way, it is a failure of sorts already. But it is not necessarily judged by others. It is not so visible, perhaps, to others. If your culture didn't have such judgments and approbations about failure, then you could actually see failure as what it really is without all the heaviness attached to it. It would not be anywhere near so scary. Failure is essentially just the inability or just the lack of following through to something that you wish to complete, to have, to explore. Some future image, perhaps even a dream, maybe a life dream. But when you don't get it, or when you try and fall short, this is considered failure. However, the fall short part, that's what is so judged. That is what is so criticized. Here's a person who has fallen short. See the terrifying part of failure, the way your culture does it, is that failure is applied to the person who fails, not to the act of having not following through. It is attached to the person as if the person themselves was a failure. And when that happens, the person is labeled loser, either in their own mind or by others. People labeled as such feel a tremendous amount of shame. A shame as if they were of no value or worth at all. A shame that seems to have no opportunity for balance, for rehabilitation, a sense of just flawedness, wrongness, no way to expiate it, no way to turn around that label. Perhaps even a sense of shame and before God, before the divine, someone who fails, someone who is a loser, may have so little value. They are a cast off of God's. They're unworthy to even be called a child of God. Well, now, of course, this is taken to its perhaps extreme. But it also lurks at this deep level, resonating deep inside an individual, scaring the bejesus out of them. What if I fail? Let's take on little projects that are familiar, things that I already know how to do, things that are obviously easy to figure out, easy to pick up, no stress, no growth curve of any major sort, just nice, easy stuff. That way, I can avoid the failure label. But you see, what failure really is, it's only the act. It's only the circumstance. A circumstance of not following through, a circumstance of not completing, a circumstance of coming short and stopping. You know, sometimes you get into a project or you do something and you actually do not wish to complete it. And so, of your own free will, of your own choice, you decide to stop. You've decided, this is not good for me, this is not right for me, it does not feel good, I'm not enjoying this, I don't feel that this is what I expected it to be, I'm disappointed with it, so I'm going to stop, I'm just going to end the project right here. Now, that's not a failure. It's a choice. However, if the person says, I don't think I can do it, I think this is too much for me, I'm in overwhelm, I don't know how I'm going to handle it, I just can't stand it, I'm going to run away from it right now. I'm just going to stop right now. But I'm going to put a rationale on it that this is not good for me, not right for me, and therefore I'll walk away from it. Still looking as if I'm in charge, still looking at as if it was my indeed choice. Yes, if you look like you're in control, look like it is a choice, it is not always labeled as a failure, even if underneath it all, you may have the fear that you're not doing it right or you cannot do it. Failure generally is put on someone who seems to make a valiant attempt and regardless of what they seem to be able to do, just can't make it. So, failure in another way is also an attempt to, therefore, explore alternatives. An artist in their creations, a painter, let's say, or a sculptor, will get into doing a piece of art or a piece of work. The sculptor putting together some clay to say, okay, you know, maybe eventually this will be a big statue, but for right now I'm going to work it through in clay, moldable, malleable clay. After a while, oh, I don't like this, and okay, I'm going to begin again. Or the writer, okay, you know how so many times on TV or movies you see the image of the frustrated writer. They type a few words, and then they rip the paper out of the typewriter. It's, of course, always a typewriter, yes. And they rip it out of the typewriter, and they smush the paper together and throw it in the waste paper basket or on the floor. The symbol of the frustrated creative. We would suggest that's really closer to what failure is about. Something that you create, you decide is either for some reason or another not worth it, it's not working, it's not fulfilling what you want it to fulfill, or somehow or another you just don't see your way to doing it. So you stop. Is that failure? No. And not in the heavy, heavy judgment way of failure that your society puts on things. No, it's a creative artist who is saying, okay, back to the drawing board, we'll try something else. If you don't put judgment on yourself for when you fall short, if you just look at it, I did some creative activity here, and I have now, you know, done whatever I wanted to do, and it just doesn't seem to be fun anymore, and I just don't want to do anymore, and I don't see where to go with it next. I'm going to have to rethink this back to the drawing board now. Then you are not a failure yourself. Yes, you failed what you intended to do, but you are not a failure. So take the judgment off of yourself. Give yourself permission to stop if what you are doing is not satisfying to you, or if there seems to be some factor that you cannot seem to figure out or seem to get. Stop. Rethink it. Back to the drawing board. Right? So that's one way to deal with failure. Another way to deal with failure is when you have a certain life plan This is when it's a big picture, a life dream, a visual. And somehow or another, no matter what you do, you cannot seem to make it work. Very tempting to call yourself a failure, especially if you've been trying over and over again, over years, year after year after year after year. You know, there are a lot of men in this culture, and some women, who feel tremendously pressured to make a lot of money, to be successful, to support the family, to do this and that and the other good thing for the planet, for the world, for the community, or whatever, which requires lots of money, lots of funding, or some kind of prestige or some kind of power and influence to bear. And in your culture, if you're going to get powerful and influential, you got to make a lot of money. But unfortunately, the pressure to make a lot of money falls on every young man's shoulders. But you see, a lot of you, men and women, really don't, per se, care about money. Yeah, you'd like the adulation. Yeah, you'd like the experience of having lots of money and being free to fritter it away however you want to, or to give it to that great cause, or to have people look up to you and be impressed by you, or have, members of the opposite sex, be attracted to you, or be able to speak and people listen, respect, yes. Oh, yeah, all of that stuff is really good, but that's not really about money. That's what we call the intangibles. The subjective factors, the goal of what you really want for the, all that money has to do with the prestige or the influence or the power you think you're going to get from it. So many men, in particular, who are sensitive, spiritual, caring, warm men, have no interest in money per se, but the burden falls upon them just as it does to the ones who are much more naturally macho and love to be soldiers and have all that other kind of industrial kind of mode about them. The artists, the creative men, they're the ones most pressured by it. They're the ones that seem to be really stressed to us, it seems, the most about whether they can be successful or not. They're the ones who seem to suffer shame the easiest, much easier than the guys for whom macho posturing or being a CEO of an industrial company or something like that would have. Why? Because a sensitive man is laughed out from the get-go. Sissy, called sissy, sissy man, or something, on the playground. One who cares for another. Aw, isn't that sweet, sissy man. You see. And so very soon, most men, as boys, have to learn how to stop crying, stop feeling, stop emoting, stop being sensitive, stop being creative, stop being artistic. It's a horrible pressure. It's a horrible price to pay. It's too much, in fact. But these men are more burdened than any. They have so much emotional energy, and emotional energy in men put into shame will emerge under pressure as hostility, defensiveness, and even violence. Oh yeah, you think that goes with the macho guys. No, the more sensitive a man is, the more defensive, hostile, and perhaps even violent he can be. Because he can get into a sheer panic about being humiliated yet again. Humiliated, beat up, like he was when he was a child, a young boy, or even an older boy. Society's been rather cruel to the sensitive man. And so it's for them that failure is much scarier, much more threatening. You've seen recently with this whole Ponzi scheme, with this the ex-head of the Federal Reserve, was it? Or the NASDAQ, yes, named Madoff or something like that. Anyway, this fellow went and he created a Ponzi scheme, a pyramid plan, and built $50 billion out of various organizations before the scheme began to crash. $50 billion. Where is enough? Where is the limit? Some men are able to get, if they are good and tough and insensitive, they're able to be so numbed to the feelings of others and to their own awarenesses and their own sensitivities that they can do things like this. They can get into that upper echelon, which all men somehow or another are told they should aspire to get into, where they are almost above the law. Look at all the men who basically played with money and actually initiated the subprime lending, initiated bank debentures that just went on and on and on, borrowing on borrowing on borrowing on borrowing, only to crash and then have to get bailed out by the government. These are guys who were so turned off, so numbed out to the whole energy of failure that they assumed that somehow or another they would be able to scam somebody, they'd be able to slither and slip through. The clever ones. They even admire their own ability to scam other people. They see themselves above failure. Why? Because they are part of an elite group that can manipulate with money. There's no place for humiliation there. They will not be humiliated because even if they're brought down, the other men who want to be on top of the pyramid with them will admire the amazing work that they did, the amazing riches they amassed. So you can see that the sensitive man needs to be able to heal his sense of failure, restore himself, and come to terms with the fact that maybe he's not going to be a multimillionaire, self-made, whiz at business, and he may not be able to go to all these other people that have been naysaying him since he was a child and vindicating himself thereby by saying, look, I made it spiritually or I made it in a beautiful way and I'm going to show you and teach you how to do it right. That's an ego agenda. It still is not money. All right. For those men who are obviously not going to be successful businessmen. How do they deal with that? How do any people deal with a dream that they have pursued and pursued and thought they must have, absolutely must have, they need it, only to fail? What can they do? Well, one thing, we found an interesting technique that we want to suggest to you today. And this technique is to imagine the self who had the fantasy, self that was perhaps a few years ago, who had the fantasy of being the ultra-rich, ultra-smart, ultra-clever person. To take that individual in your mind, see him or her set up in business, doing fantastically and fabulously, living out that dream. And take that image and in meditation, go in meditation into your past and visit that self who is failing, who is coming, unfortunately, over and over again to the conclusion that he mostly or maybe she is just never, is not just not cut out to be a good heart money maker. And give that self, that past self, this image. Set them up in a successful business. Set them up to give, to be making tremendous amounts of money. Have, you know, tons of employees, big, big worldwide conglomerate or whatever. Let them, let that self have it all. Have the whole fantasy, the whole dream. Let them have it all, every bit of it. And what we would suggest is that when you give it to them and you see them with stars in their eyes, just kind of glazed over, oh my, is this wonderful, oh my, is this fantastic, this is it, I'm in the dream now, I'm achieving this dream. You say to them, it's my gift, but I request you, stay there. Stay in my past. I am the current self. I'm going to go on without you. I'm going to find a new life, a new way that's truer to who I am. So you be the great businessman or woman. And I'm going to discover my sensitive side or artistic side or my creative side. Or I'm going to find what I'm best suited to do. You know, forgive yourself if you haven't made that fortune. Take, you know, be easy on yourself. You don't need to suffer all your life because you didn't live up to some fantasy dumped on you by your society when you were a child. You'll be amazed how the underlying rage, the underlying depression, the underlying pain can be assuaged, can be healed so much more easily this way. And if you will realize you are of infinite value and worth, you, a spark of consciousness, a particle of light, making up the one of many in the body of God, God is all that is. That you deserve to live a life that's perfectly correct, beautiful, and true to who you are, to be you, to express yourself, to live your life with love and celebration for you, not just because of what you can do for everybody, but for you. You will find that that self-valuing will heal the terrors of failure. So many at this time on the planet are struggling with this concept. So we thought it appropriate to share with you today, and is one of the reasons that we went a bit longer in our discussion. But we do have time to take one or maybe two calls. So at this point, we'd like to open up the lines for any of you who are listening who would like to speak with us, to ask us a question on this topic or any other topic of interest to you. You can call 877-876-5227 or you can call 888-815-9756. And this is for the United States and Canada. If you're outside these two countries, then look on the page, Station One page of BBS Radio, and there you will find the international lines listed. So give us a call, and we will be very happy to speak with you. Now, for all of you who are listening, failure can be completely revamped, rethought, so that you don't have to fear failure. Think of it as you, the creative person, the reality creator. So something doesn't work out, don't say, oh, it's not supposed to work out. That's giving power away to it. Say, you know, it's not working out. What about this dream that I was pursuing that may not be precisely appropriate for me at this time? You may get a realization there. All right, we have a caller. Hello?
Hi, Galactus. It's Stephanie. I'm Charles.
Hi, Galactus.
All right, now we can barely hear you. Can you speak much louder?
Okay, can you hear me better now?
Yes, thank you. Yes. Hello.
Hi, it's Stephanie and Charles.
Well, hello, Stephanie and Charles. What a pleasure to hear from you.
We tuned in kind of late, but I suspect you were talking about, you know, that whole dream. And we've been, at least I've been feeling that pull, that conflict, of just what you're speaking about, of having all of the so-called financial wealth and pursuing that whole dream.
Yeah.
And now I'm at a crossroads where, you know, I really, I'm trying to figure out how to dream for my future.
Yes.
And it feels just like you're saying, like, nothing really matters that much to me about, you know, what I thought was going to matter, all of the material stuff. But yet how to fit it into the context of having fun and finding out who you are and living
yes.
in the context of your spirituality.
Yes. All right. So it is time for you to redream.
Yes, and I...
All right. We want to emphasize... When you redream, you need to redream yourself. You need to take off of yourself all those other agendas, all the agendas of giving value to you if you are financially successful, forgiving yourself if you are not, and starting to look at what is it that does turn you on. So, because so many spiritual people will put most of their time and effort into making money with the hopeful idea if they make a lot of money, then they can have the time and the freedom to do things that they really want to do.
Yes.
Now, when you do that, there is an agenda there. The agenda is that you have a lot of charge on money because money is going to bring you the freedom.
Right.
So what you have on making a lot of money is that if you make enough money, then you finally have permission, finally are valuable enough, you finally are okay enough that it satisfies everybody else's impression of you and what you would require of yourself and what you would need, so that then you can start paying attention to who you are.
Right.
And that's putting the cart before the horse, in a sense.
But it often
right.
feels like it's the other way around.
It is. In fact, if you put the horse in front of the cart, the cart, which is the form of your manifestations, will be pulled forward by the horse, which is actually the awareness of what you are, who you are, and what gives you joy. And your motivation, you see, because if you're not really motivated for the money, it's very hard to keep that energy up, and there's very often you'll get all snagged up in all sorts of issues with it.
But,
all right. Now, what we've done here, just yesterday, we gave a workshop which was entitled Creating and Manifesting Your Dreams.
Yes.
And in it, we delineated specifically the difference between a fantasy, a dream, and a vision.
Yes.
And we also gave those who came to the workshop 7 questions to ask yourself and 7 actions to take to fulfill your dream.
Okay.
Now, we would suggest we don't have time to go through those right now, but
okay.
It is a very powerful, very valuable in-depth process. Since we have recorded this workshop, we would suggest that anyone who is very interested about discovering what their dream is, what their next dream is, what their life dream would be, and what the life of their dreams would be, and to know what that form would be, and know what they need to do to get there, we would highly recommend purchasing this workshop, because it's like a 4 or 5 hour workshop, and therefore you'd get the full explanation, which you cannot get here.
Okay.
All right. And in order to do that, we would suggest that you can go to the website, which is GalexisSpirit.com, and in there to write Daniel, to write the, you know, for information, and request that workshop, or can call at 310-455-0600. And we, that number again is 310-455-0600. Now, normally we don't spend time promoting a particular workshop or another on this radio show, but the reason we're doing it today is because for you specifically, dear one,
yes,
this is could be very, very precise and very specific to what you need to do right now. And there are those who are listening for whom this would be specific at this time. Many people who are going through the economic downturn are finding that it is taking away some of their margin. And so they're getting much more stressed out about financial issues. And so redreaming is very vital for them as well.
Okay.
All right. But for you, first of all, you need to focus not on the money part, but you need to focus first on yourself.
But you see, you say that, and there's a big underlying fear about
yes,
letting go of, you know, what seems practical to do.
That's true, but you see, that's your programming by your culture.
Okay.
The culture says value and need and all of this is found with the money thing.
Okay.
And you've got to take care of that first. You've got to be practical. You've got to do what you got to do. This is your obligation. This is your duty to yourself, to your family, whatever it is, whatever the load is that's put on it. Yes?
Yes.
So there's all of that. And so the threat is that if you dare think about yourself, or if you think about yourself, it's going to pull you away from the money, and you're going to be poor and broke and homeless and living out of trash cans and things like that. And there's this whole failure stamp that's put on you. You're a loser. You're some unworthy person.
Right.
Now, the thing is that you still have to continue making some kind of living. So you're going to still continue working the financial thing. The point is, though, is that while that is still ongoing, not to fret over that, not to spend all your time worrying about that, but first, take some time aside and focus on yourself and what activities actually give you pleasure. What kind of thoughts and feelings do you have during your day? And what, so that you can find out where your agendas are, what emotions are going on that need to be worked with. In other words, clear out the debris inside yourself first. Clear out limiting beliefs. Clear out projections of what you're supposed to be doing and how you're supposed to go about it, or whatever those things are. Work on your inner self just to get to the point of clarity.
Okay.
About yourself, about what you like, you know. And if you, the thing is that you, Stephanie and Charles, you know yourselves pretty well.
Yes.
So you don't have to spend a lot of time doing this, but just enough to cut through the BS that's wandering around in your brain and to get to a place of prioritizing you.
Okay.
You know, if you really, really had all the money you ever wanted, and you had all the time you ever wanted, you know, you'd still want to do something.
Yes.
You see? What? What would you still want to do? You see?
Okay.
And if you still want to do something, you know, look, is it a fantasy or is it a potential reality? a lot of people have fantasies. Oh, I'm going to have lots of money, and then I'll put together this foundation, and then I'll, you know, help all these people and that people and so on, and I'll do this wonderful thing for my community, and I'll just paint, and I'll just have a good time. And there's no sense of really, truly honoring the impact of yourself and your value and your worth.
Okay.
That's a fantasy.
Yes,
it's a nice escape to go there. But if you can take it into something real, if it can motivate you to do some kind of action, everything that you can think of to do on this planet can, in one way or another, bring money to you.
Yes.
Every service, every action has value. And you can find a channel or an avenue or some way to bring that to you.
Okay.
You see?
Yes.
So this is where you look again. This is where you look to find out, well, where are we going to focus next? Where are we going to put our energies? Where are we going to develop who we are as and express who we are as part of our income stream?
Okay.
Rather than the income stream being the primary thing and expressing who we are in our pathetic little spare time, if we have any.
Yes.
Right? Because if you put your priority on money, and money is not something that you love, really, and you don't, it's just something that is valuable and you're really going for it because there's this kind of fantasy, that agenda that you're going to feel good about it, that feeling you're looking for, and so on. But if you focus there and not on yourself, you end up creating more hassles with money.
Well, that's what we've discovered.
Right, because it's just not going to work right for you because you're not prioritizing yourself. So yourself will be cut out of the equation.
Okay.
All right. Now, we do talk a lot about money as well in our workshop called Healing Your Relationship with Money.
Well, I do have that one. That's what I've been working with.
Good.
And that's what has been bringing up all of this stuff now, you know?
Absolutely. It will bring up all the stuff so that you can see it and clear it and empower yourself with it.
Yes.
You see? And that's wonderful. And also you can connect with the spirit of money in that workshop.
Yes.
And we do recommend that workshop to anyone who does not have it, who happens to be listening, because we've been getting feedback that after listening to the meditation, if people have any channels through which money can come, or that they are open to magic happening, sometimes they've been getting some really major influx of money or opportunities. So it's a very powerful one. We'd say that one for you, wonderful. And if you add the other one, the one that's just going to come out, actually it's not been produced yet, not until probably next week, but it's the Creating and Manifesting Your Dreams. Between those two, we would sense you would have the orientation that you need to be able to make this turnaround. Because once you get the light on you and the value on you, you will attract, you will magnetize value to you. You will bring it to you.
I think I'm at the point now where I can, you know, more than intellectually grasp what you're saying or what the CD has been very helpful, but it's just to really get the feeling really in my heart now about really getting that focus on myself, you know, and
yes,
something purpose-filled, you know?
Excellent, yes. That's the secret, because that's, you know, you are the one creating this illusion. And so, therefore, if you put the light on you, then the illusion will reflect you.
Yes.
You know, because if you're putting your focus on money, you're going to have issues with shame, you're going to have issues with fear, you're going to have issues, you could be very stressed out because the focus is not on you.
Yes, and it's also very empty, you know?
Yeah, it's not really truly fulfilling inside.
Exactly.
But see, the thing for you, you're aware of this because you've actually gone for it and realize the emptiness that's there and the fullness that happens when you put your attention onto yourself and what your heart is saying. But most people in this culture have an agenda with money, that money's going to bring them this most wonderful, satisfying, fulfilling feeling. And so many people can go for years and years and years pushing, driving themselves nuts to try to make money, to try to get that feeling, when that feeling will never be there with money ever. You see? So it's good that you know that that feeling is not there. That ultimately, even if you made tremendous amounts of money, there would be an emptiness there. Unless you went and now put your attention into yourself.
What it does.
So why not start there, you know? Yes?
What it does, it makes us put our life on hold and say that there is someday when we do have the money that we so-called would need, then we will be happy.
Exactly. Exactly. You'll have everything you need, and then you'll be happy, and, you know, and that's what a fantasy is about, because in a fantasy, it's like you get that place where everything's fulfilled and you're happy, and then, you know, it's like a movie where it's, okay, now they lived happily ever after, you know, and that's the end of the movie. You know, there's no depth to it.
Well, that's what we've discovered, and we're at that place now, so I guess it is.
And also, yeah, you're at that place because you've realized that all the value you've given to money, you've made it so much more important than it really is.
Exactly. And
you know.
And
you but
know,
you see, you're very fortunate because you have each other.
Yes.
You know, how beautiful that is. And you can imagine how much harder it is if you were only one of you, you know, out there alone trying to figure this out.
Yes, no, we've had a very beautiful spiritual relationship, and we're growing together, and we're grateful for that, so.
Absolutely.
And, well, thank you very much, Calixtus. I will look into getting that other CD, because the healing your relationship with money has been very helpful.
Yes, yeah, we'd say that it makes some deep shifts on you.
Yes.
And so that's good. And as we look at your energy field, we can see that there is a clearing that is happening. And we expect that January for you is going to be a beautiful opening time.
Well, thank you very much. That's very encouraging.
And that's for both of you.
Okay.
All right. Dear ones, thank you for calling in.
Okay.
All right. Farewell to you. All right. So, you can see what they have shown as a very important issue, and that is the valuing of money over the self. And, you know, if you do that, then you risk failure in the societal context of the term, which is just a horrendous experience. Now, at this point, we can have time for another caller, and so feel free to call in, but know that our time with you is going to be short because we are nearing the end of the program. But if you do have something you would like to ask, feel free to give us a call at 877-876-5227. We know from a spiritual perspective, you are what is valuable. You are the light. You are the missionary to planet Earth. You know, and you have come here not only to find yourself, but also to make a difference in the world in some small way or large way. So maintain the focus on you. All right, we have another caller. Hello.
Yeah, hi, Galexis. This is Noella from Canada.
Hello, Noella.
Hi.
Thank you for calling. And what would you like to discuss?
Oh, I just wanted to share something I read yesterday, which goes along with your show today.
Oh, excellent. What is that?
Okay, I'll just read it. It's
all
called
right.
Positive Prayer Centered on Appreciation and Blessing of the Self and Others, Rather Than on What Appears to Be Lacking in My Life Will Change the Experience. And then find the positive attributes in your current experience to appreciate and honor, even as a new paradigm of experience is desired. So,
oh, that's beautiful.
So basically, we have to appreciate what we have first before something new will come in to our lives. And that, to me, I hope is a good Christmas gift to everyone. And I just wanted to share that.
Thank you for sharing that, because, yes, at this particular time on the planet, with so many people having financial issues and concerns about the future, that if they can remember that, if they can remember to value and love themselves and to be grateful for what they do have.
And if they're wondering, I'm a single mother with no money, but I have a lot of spiritual happiness in my life, and I'm grateful for everything I have. It took a long time to get there.
Well, we can understand that, having to weed through so many of the pressures, the expectations, the beliefs, the limitations that, you know, you've had to grow up with and dismantle one by one.
Oh, yes, and it's so freeing. It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Right, and this freedom is a freedom of spirituality.
Exactly.
It's a freedom that allows you to lift into the greater you that you are.
The hardest thing was self-love, and that was the hardest hurdle for me. And I think that's with everyone because of the judgment.
We agree. Yes.
And,
because people coming into life, if you're female, for example, you come in with shame right away.
Exactly.
You know, oh, this person is female. Okay, well, they're a lesser person. They're
not as
important, right?
Yes.
This comes in at birth. Now, for males, it comes in childhood that the performance is not okay.
There's something
obviously flawed or wrong with the boy.
And we've got to stop listening to those things and
listening to the messages of shame within
us. That's right.
Yes.
They're not from love. When things aren't from love, I stop listening.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's
love. As long as when you hear things that are not from love, you don't judge them.
That's right. And you can't find
happiness.
You cannot
judge them, or you'll get stuck with them.
Exactly. And you're going round and round on the same record.
Right. Sounds like you've been through that merry-go-round.
Yes. I'm on another track now. I skipped the track. I'm working on another one.
Well, fantastic.
Yes, and I wanted to wish you a happy season, and thank you for your good work.
You're very welcome, dear one. And we do appreciate your calling in, and we appreciate your name as well. So perfect for the season, yes?
Yes, Noelle, yes.
Noella, yes.
Yes.
How delightful.
Thank
well,
you.
You're very welcome, dear one, and farewell.
Bless you. Bye.
All right. Well, all of you who are listening can celebrate that you have so much available to you that's intangible, that is not measured in terms of physical manifestation, of physical dollars, of amounts of money in your bank account. Dear ones, realize and remember, all of this that you experience is an illusion. Now, if you make it real, you give so much importance to it, and you make it more significant than yourself, all you're doing is sticking yourself in a big pile of illusion. You thought we were going to say something else, didn't you? So what we want to suggest here, dear ones, is if you feel you have made a lot of mistakes, forgive yourself. If you feel you don't have enough money, be grateful for what you have and expect more. And if you fear that you don't have the ability to create a beautiful life for yourself, then go seek someone. Go read something inspirational. Come listen to us on the radio and other beautiful radio programs. Inspirational stuff, read it like the material that Noella shared, so that you can lift out of that dark, gloomy, and drab place and start living a life of your dreams, living the life expressed who you are. You are worth so much more than you have any clue, any idea about. And to take your power, because you as a reality creator have created with your team all this illusion. It's yours. It belongs to you. It can give you everything. But you are the important factor, not it. So don't look outside for your validation. Look inside yourself. And that's what Noella was talking about, how self-love is generally the most difficult thing. Yes, if you can love yourself, particularly in this holiday season, what a fantastic gift you can give yourself and subsequently to the world. It has been our pleasure working with you today, working with your energy, speaking to you, sharing with you. And we hope that you have a marvelous, marvelous continuing of your holiday season. We will be speaking again to you on the 29th of December, before the new year begins. And so for now, we will close. Next week will be Tall Cat Psychic, and we will return on the 29th. And we wish you all a very, very beautiful Christmas, whether you are a Christian or not. We welcome you to celebrate the solstice, the renewal of the light, that for every one of you, you can experience within as well as without. And so farewell for now. It has been our pleasure being with you, and we surround you with our light and with our love. Farewell till we meet again.